Good morning and welcome to Beyond the Gates, how erdic research affects you. We are on episode 19 this morning and we're going to be learning about making a difference. We're going to be speaking with an erdic expert as she serves on the DoD Climate Action Team. I am going to be speaking with Samantha Cook. She is a research physical scientist with the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory, otherwise known as CREEL. Good morning, Samantha.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Thank you for being on the show this morning. And we've got a lot to talk about, and I'm so excited that we actually have a lab that's not in Vicksburg that we're going to be talking to for the first time. So you are our first one to talk to, and people don't really know that there's other labs outside Vicksburg. But we're going to start out is, what is your role at erdic?
So I'm a research physical scientist, as you mentioned, at the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory, and we're located in Hanover, New Hampshire. So my background is in geology, and broadly, I focus on land surface and subsurface assessments, characterizations, mapping, using both geospatial and geophysical techniques. So I've done a lot of work with ground-penetrating radar and void detection, but also satellite imagery analysis, and terrain characterization. And then more recently, I've gotten involved in some climate change focused efforts, particularly those that pertain to water and water resilience.
All right. So, Samantha, can you tell me about yourself and your background? And what steps did you take to get to where you are? And how did you become a researcher at erdic?
Sure. So I have a bachelor's and a master's degree in geology from the University of New Hampshire. I actually started my freshman year as a music major. My high school had a really big music program, and so I was a music ed major on trombone. But my first semester, I took a class called Global Environmental Change, and I was actually in that class to get one of my science electives out of the way. Mm-hmm. But while in that class, you know, I learned about climate change for the first time, and I just thought, you know, it sounded really interesting, and I had never heard of it. I just thought it sounded really important, and mm-hmm. so much so that I wound up completely switching my major over to geology. And
that's a big switch, by the way. That's a huge switch.
yes, it's a huge switch. But you know, I went home and I was looking through all the different majors at the University of New Hampshire and seeing, you know, what could be a fit. Something that I could, you know, get a degree in where I thought in the future I'd be able to work on and study climate change and climate change issues. So right. Based on kind of classwork, I thought that was going to be the best fit for me. So I totally switched over, got my undergraduate degree in geology, and then I got a scholarship. So I stayed on two more additional years, mm-hmm. got a master's degree in geology, focusing on glacial geology. I wound up at erdic because shortly after finishing my master's degree, my advisor suggested I attend a New Hampshire Geological Society dinner party. They happen a couple times a year in our state. Mm-hmm. And he said, you know, they could be good networking opportunities. So I went to one, and at a cocktail hour, I met somebody who happened to work at CREEL, and he told me his lab was hiring. And, you know, we got to chatting, and it seemed like kind of what I had gone to school for would be a really good fit for the lab. So I got a business card from him that was his branch chief, and was on the line with him, you know, the next day, and flash forward a couple months and I was onboarding at CREEL. And that was back in April of 2016. So it's been a little over 6.5 years, and I'm still here. So just enjoying my time as a researcher.
Fantastic. I love to hear stories about how connections are made. So that is a fantastic story. And I love to hear that how, you know, passionate you are about what you do. So can you tell me about your lab? And you're a part of erdic, but where exactly, you know, we're digging deeper into where CREEL is.
Sure. So yeah, CREEL is part of erdic, but we're not down in the main Mississippi campus. We are located in Hanover, New Hampshire, which is the small town that's right on the border between New Hampshire and Vermont. So when I'm sitting in my office, I'm actually looking out at the trees in Vermont. So we have, I'd say most of our employees are from one of those two states. We do a lot of cold regions research in the Arctic and the Antarctic, actually. And believe it or not, we're actually the only cold regions focused lab in the federal government. So we have this really important mission space And then we have a bunch of scientists and scientists and engineers with the expertise in these areas. So some of the stuff that we do in the Antarctic, you know, we work for the National Science Foundation, and you know, we're really heavily involved in crevasse detection and doing traverses between McMurdo Station on the coast and South Pole Station. So just really unique work that not many laboratories could focus on. And Carl also has a secondary kind of satellite location in Fairbanks, Alaska as well. We have a small facility up there. And there's actually a permafrost tunnel that's it's a really unique kind of facility that we have. And, you know, it's one that the scientists and engineers up there use for various different research projects that are ongoing.
Well, that sounds great. It also makes me get very cold all of a sudden. But anyway, so what is the Department of Defense Climate Action Team and why is it important?
So the Climate Action Team formed in March of 2021 after the president signed Executive Order 1408, which is tackling the climate crisis at home and abroad. We work for the Office of the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Environment and Energy Resilience, ENER. And actually, if anyone at ERDC attended the RD22 workshop this year, one of our keynote speakers was Mr. Richard Kidd. He is the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for ENER, so we work for him. And then Dr. Kate White, she's the Program Director for Climate Change in the same office, and she is the lead of the Climate Action Team. The team itself is staffed by Corps of Engineers employees from all across the country, because we're a fully remote team. So each person, you know, brings a different skill set and expertise to the group. I'm the Water Resilience and Climate Program Analyst, but we also have people who are experts in, you know, nature-based solutions or sustainable buildings, environmental justice, etc. So the team works on climate change policy and guidance for the department. And we work at a really high level in the federal government. Some of the things we've worked on include, you know, developing the DOD Climate Adaptation Plan, for example, which came out in September of 2021, or answering congressional requirements, you know, NDAA, the National Defense Authorization Act, or House requirements. We write reports to Congress. We write policy. We provide trainings to various federal agencies on some of our climate tools that we have, and we help the installations plan for future climate exposure hazards that they may face in their location. So, you know, it's a really diverse set of tasks that we work on. And these are just a few of the things that come to mind. We really just work all across the department on things that pertain to policy and climate change.
Which sound very, very important. So how long have you served on this climate action team?
I've been on the team for a little over 1 year now. I was initially selected to do a four-month detail back in November of 2021, and then I wound up extending a couple of months, and then I went down to a part-time capacity last summer, and I've been doing that ever since. So I'm kind of 50% climate action team, 50% ERDC research. I've just been loving the work. They haven't been able to get rid of me yet.
Awesome. It's just according to what day it is, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, Samantha, how is your role on the team different from the other ERDC personnel who are serving on it with you?
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned that because, you know, the team I mentioned, we're Corps of Engineers folks who are all across the country. But right now, we actually do have multiple ERDC staff on the team. There's some other CREL folks on the team, both from our Hanover site as well as our Alaska site, and then some teammates from the lab in Champaign as well, CERL, Construction Engineering Research Laboratory. But my role is a little bit different because, as I mentioned, I'm the Water Resilience and Climate Program Analyst, and separate from the Climate Action Team, there's a DOD Water Resilience Team, and that's staffed by us at OSD, as well as military service, senior leaders, and technical subject matter experts in the area of water. So when I came on board, I took over as lead of that team. And, you know, I hold weekly meetings or more frequent with the team as needed. And we work on things that specifically pertain to water. So, you know, answering congressional requirements about water or drought. We've had requests for information from the DOD Chief Sustainability Officer on some items related to water. Really, we do anything that pertains to DOD and their water.
Right. Gotcha. Fantastic. What kind of work products have you created while on the team? For whom have you done the work with?
Oh, gosh. we work on so many different products. I guess I'll talk about my favorite that I've worked on, which was a report to Congress. In the FY21 NDAA, we were tasked at creating a methodology to improve water management and security on military installations. So the water resilience team, we jointly developed this method, and we piloted it at 16 installations across the country, which included a data call we sent out to them. You know, we got data back, analyzed it, you know, assessed risk at these locations, and then summarized everything in a report to Congress that was signed out this past April. We're now doing another round of assessments, looking at 57 additional installations, and working on our next report to Congress that's due this coming spring. So I've really enjoyed working on those, just because, one, it's been such collaborative work with the water resilience team, but two, writing a report to Congress has been so different from what I'm used to writing, you know, like an ERDC technical report or a journal publication. It's just a totally different style of writing. And to see the process of how something goes from, you know, here's a requirement in the NDAA, here's what we developed, to here's how it's summarized and sent over to Congress, is just, it's been really cool to learn all about that process.
Right. And see the end result. That has to be makes you feel good. So what has been the most exciting part about serving in this detail?
Well, I'd say really two things come to mind. One would be just the level that we're working at in the federal government. I mean, I was just mentioning deliverables that we have that go to Congress. We have deliverables that go to the president. It's just, sometimes it's crazy to take a step back and think about where our products are going and who's you know, looking at them. But the second thing that comes to mind is really just the amount of really, really great people I've gotten to meet and work with. The Climate Action Team is such a collaborative group, and you know, it's just everyone on the team is so motivated and willing to help each other. And, you know, I now have friends all across the country at these different Corps of Engineers districts, but, you know, also just working with the military departments or all these different federal agencies or at OSD, I feel really lucky to have been able to work alongside these super smart people and learn so much from them.
Right. I'm Annette Kirkland. Beyond the Gates continues in a moment. You're listening to News Talk 107.7.
Joe Tarver at Tarver Insurance of Vicksburg reminds you that open enrollment for Affordable Care Act health insurance ends January 15th. It's your chance to see if you qualify for lower monthly premiums, lower copays, and lower deductibles. Some plans even have zero monthly costs. So give Joe Tarver a call today to see if you qualify. Parents, you can keep your children insured till they turn 26, and you or your family can qualify even with pre-existing conditions. 601-529-2433 will reach Joe, and he can visit with you personally. Tarver Insurance.
More than 99 cents out of every dollar donated to United Way of West Central Mississippi stays in our community. So when you give to United Way, you give to your community. You teach children to read, provide seniors with warm meals, and help families rebuild their lives after tragedies. Help us build the foundation for a better tomorrow by improving lives today. Visit UnitedWayVicksburg.org/give to donate. Federal employees can also give through the combined federal campaign with code 50120.
If you want to be in good spirits,
the place to start is John Houston's Good Spirits and Fine Wine.
There's a wonderful selection of whiskey and other spirits, including a great choice of wines with great prices.
John Houston's Good Spirits and Fine Wine is local, family, and dog-owned.
So come meet Hank the Dalmatian.
John Houston's Good Spirits and Fine Wine.
Open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. till 9:30 p.m. Located in the old Adolph Rose Building next to the BB Club.
John Houston's Good Spirits and Fine Wine.
Welcome back to Beyond the Gates. You're listening to News Talk 107.7. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Beyond the Gates, How ERDC Research Affects You. This is episode 19, Making a Difference. We're speaking with an ERDC expert that serves on the DoD Climate Action Team. Her name is Samantha Cook. She's a research physical scientist with the Cold Regions Research and Engineering Laboratory. So now, how has serving on the Climate Action Team helped make you an even better ERDC subject matter expert?
Well, for one, I now have a much more comprehensive and better understanding of how some DOD processes work that I've had a glance into from this team that were maybe a little more ambiguous before. But two, you know, being on the climate action team has led to new opportunities for me at ERDC. You know, because of my role, specifically my role is, you know, in water resilience, I'm now working with a team we have at CERL, the Water Use Resilience Security Technology team. I just started working with them this fiscal year. I'm now a member of the Corps of Engineers Climate Preparedness and Resilience Community of Practice. And, you know, I'm working for the Corps on climate change, nature-based solutions work. You know, it's just, it's opened a lot of doors for me to work on things that I find very interesting and I wouldn't have necessarily been qualified for or selected for prior to this detail, just because, you know, I didn't have the experience at that time.
Right, right. So what have been the challenges involved in serving on this team?
Well, a personal challenge has been balancing climate action team work and ERDC research and trying to make sure everything's moving forward. But when full-time on detail, I would say the biggest challenge is just the pace and the volume of work that we have. So we get tasked with a lot of really high priority things. We often receive what we call hot taskers, which are, they're deliverables that often require either like an all hands on deck or a, you know, please stop what you're doing to support this, you know, type of effort. They've got really short suspenses and it can make it hard to plan out your day. You know, at ERDC, I wake up, I look at my schedule, I see what meetings I have. I can kind of plan out, all right, I'm going to work on this task in the morning and this other one in the afternoon or whatnot. But it's a lot harder to do that on the climate action team when things are kind of coming in and disrupting your normal workflow. So that's definitely been a challenge. And then just the amount of work, even on the water resilience team, when I started, we had kind of one major task, but water has just become more and more important and grown so much over the last year that we're now constantly juggling three or four big tasks that we're working on. So it's definitely a challenge, but, you know, it's improved my time management skills and, hey, you know, it keeps things pretty interesting. So
you learn how to be better every day, right?
That's right. That's
okay.
Right.
So what advice do you have for people who are interested in applying for something like this, something outside of their comfort zone, in other words, but who aren't sure that they have the right background?
Oh, my advice is just do it. Just apply. I think you have nothing to lose with a detail because details have a start date and they have an end date. And so even if it's not a perfect fit or not your dream position, you know, it's temporary. It's not forever. When the call came out for this team, there were all these different position descriptions and I thought the team sounded so cool and I want to apply. And I looked at the positions and said, I fit the bill for absolutely none of these. the only reason I applied for water resilience is because there was one line in the description that said, you need to be proficient in GIS. And I am. I do a lot of GIS work, just geographic information systems. So
I was fixing to ask for those listeners out there that are listening on the radio or online that do not know what that means. Is there a way to explain to them what that means?
Sure. So GIS is a tool that we use for geospatial analyses. So it's a tool that you can project and do analyses on different geospatial data sets. So think of it like a mapping tool. You know, we want to be able to map out in the water world, for example, maybe different watersheds that installations are located on or different water sources. So having a background in GIS is it's useful for, you know, a lot of the different things we do on the climate action team, but was definitely a requirement for the water resilience role.
Right, right. So you had that experience, in other words.
Yes, yes. I had that experience, but I knew absolutely nothing about water resilience. And I really wanted to be on the team. I just thought it sounded so cool. So, you know, I applied and hoped that little bit of background might get me in the door. And it did. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a year ago, yeah, I knew nothing about water resilience, but now today I can't say that anymore. I know all about DOD's water and water resilience, and I've just learned so much and enjoyed my time. So I really recommend if you see something, you know, developmental that you're interested in, just go for it, because you never know what could happen.
Right, right. Plus, it sounds like you like to make a difference also.
So, oh, yeah, definitely.
All right. So we're going to be rounding up with our last question. What do you want listeners to remember about this valuable conversation?
I mean, just piggybacking off your last question, I'd say, you know, keep an eye out on the developmental opportunities that we have. And I'll use a moment to plug that we're going to be advertising very soon a call for another year of Climate Action Team detailees. So if, you know, this sounds interesting and like something you'd like to work on, you know, definitely apply. The detail positions vary in length. You know, it doesn't have to be a full year. Some folks come on for 6 months. I initially, again, was selected for only 4 months. So there's a lot of flexibility, but we're always looking for, you know, new, motivated, talented people who want to work on this stuff and try to make a difference. So that should be coming out soon. So keep an eye on your email.
Sounds good. And again, our show is labeled Beyond the Gates, How Erdc Research Affects You. And everything that you are doing, they're affecting everyone out there. So we appreciate you so much.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely. Well, everyone, we want to thank Samantha Cook for being on the show today. And next week, we will have episode 20, and we're going to be welcoming Dr. David Pittman. He is the director of Erdc, and he is going to be talking about the power of partnerships. And that will wrap up our season, and then we will start back up in January. So again, thank you for listening to Beyond the Gates, How Erdc Research Affects You. And we'll come back at you next week. Have a great day.